You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more.
Sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and Creative Foundations, employing individuals with disabilities.
Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Nerd Overload, the show about pop and geek culture that you can't find on the Denny's menu.
It'll be a grand slam.
Absolutely. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And no Cody and Samantha this week, they're on vacation, but we have a very special guest.
I'm also Josh.
Yes. It's going to be really confusing this week. I'm going to say Josh, and you're both going to start responding, so.
It's high school all over again.
Yeah, there you go.
My whole life.
We have a bunch of news stuff we want to get into, but as always, we're going to be talking a little bit about what we've been checking out this week.
This past Saturday, Disney XD aired the second Star Wars Rebels animated movie, The Siege of Lothal, and it's kind of their opener to the season two of Star Wars Rebels. Basically an hour-long episode.
Okay, cool.
But it's very Darth Vader-heavy.
Good.
With James Earl Jones voicing the Dark Lord of the Sith himself.
That's awesome.
Oh, really?
Oh, excellent. Okay. I'm going to be the person, the voice of, I don't know, nobody it seems anymore, but I've never watched Rebels. When does it take place?
5 years before New Hope.
Okay. So do you, I mean, besides Vader, other characters we've seen show up in there?
So far, Lando.
Okay.
And Billy Dee Williams did voice Lando.
That's awesome.
Right, I did hear about that. Yeah, see, I haven't watched Rebels.
He had an episode of himself, and he actually pops up in the movie, too.
Oh, excellent.
But he's like basically in hologram form. It's by proxy, but he's there.
Right.
Other than that, so far, kind of a spoiler, Ahsoka from Clone Wars shows up, too.
Oh, that's cool.
As a much older version of herself.
Clone Wars was great, but too boring for my kids. So
there are a couple episodes now that are really hard to watch, like when they're trying to get into like the galactic politics bullcrap.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, like Ahsoka's previous master, there was an episode with him that just kind of. I mean, there was some good action, but or not Ahsoka's master. Who was it? The dude with the little thing on his face.
Oh, Plo Koon?
Yeah.
He was kind of like a mentor, but he wasn't really her master.
Right. And so we tried watching this with the kids, and it just got so into like the Senate and all this other weird stuff going on.
A lot of the same, you know, pitfalls of the prequels.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to watch it. I thought it looked great. The art style is fantastic, but seven-year-old doesn't care.
I watched all of Clone Wars, and I loved it. I liked how the animation improved as time went on. The final, like, the lost episode season, like, the Netflix stuff is kind of hard to watch. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the meat of the other stuff is great, especially when you get into, like, the Mandalorian showing up. Anyway, that's detracting from what I'm talking about. But Rebels is the same crew who worked on that. Art style is a little different. It's a little more Disney style. Like, Ezra looks kind of like Aladdin, like a young Aladdin.
Okay, all right.
He's the young one of the young main characters in the series, but anyway, the Siege of Lothal picks up where season one left off, where Darth Vader shows up and you know is going to show them how you do this, the Imperials anyway trying to catch this little tiny rebel cell, but it's so good. I mean the action scenes are great. They do a good job of merging their style with the old original story like storyboard concept arts of Star Wars.
Okay.
With, like, Vader's mask and how he looks and the skinny lightsabers, like from New Hope.
Right.
Cool.
Really cool. And, like, the Vader in this is very similar to his current comic incarnation, where he's definitely a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
I'm only talking about Vader. Oh, my God, I just had an idea. What if they did an exploitation Star Wars film with, like, Black Dynamite as, like, a combination of Han Solo and Luke Skywalker?
Oh, man, that would be pretty great.
Don't they already? Why wouldn't... I would just imagine they would just use Lando. I've already got...
You already got
the best
him
person you can have for a blaxploitation flick.
But anyway, it does really good. It showcases, like, Vader's, like, skills, like, a warrior and a fighter. But also, there's a really awesome sequence where he's flying his TIE fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it just proves that, you know, he was a great pilot. And not just, you know, getting knocked into it by another guy and zipping into space.
I saw the whole pod racer thing. I know what's up.
But yeah, no, that's always kind of one of the things that... always kind of stood out to me with the Star Wars stuff. They always said that, you know, Anakin was an excellent pilot, but outside of the pod racing, he really never does anything that is so far outside of what any other pilot in the Star Wars universe does,
has done,
you know?
Yeah.
He accidentally hit autopilot and flew into their ship and accidentally fired the guns.
Yeah,
we don't talk about that film.
Well, it might be brought up more with Jake Lloyd's recent troubles.
Right, yeah, and that's something we're going to be getting to a little bit later on. But yeah.
But no, it's really cool. Like he's flying around and there's like these like prototype like A-wings. Because they actually like run into the beginnings of like the Rebel Alliance.
Okay.
And there's this squadron of A-wings or prototype A-wings or whatever they are, and Vader takes them all on single handedly, and he's like flipping around. At one point he flips his TIE fighter around and is spinning it backwards while firing his weapons at the oncoming squadron.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, it's so good.
Sounds good.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. I'm just sad that I have to wait till August for season 2 to actually officially start. Yeah.
Now, is season 1, is that like available on streaming anywhere? Or is it just catch it when it's on?
I know On Demand has it.
Okay.
Has the first, I think all of the first 13 or so episodes, including the prologue movie for that too, The Spark of Rebellion.
Okay.
I think so.
Sounds like a Transformers movie. That's what I'm here for. Get everything off track. Yeah, I guess I have been spending a lot of time mostly just watching stuff the past couple weeks, past week or so. I finally finished. It took me a little while to get through it, I guess, but I watched all of the new Netflix series Sense8.
Oh, okay.
The J. Michael Straczynski Wachowski sibling show. If you aren't 100% familiar with what it is pretty weird, as you'd expect from anything by the Wachowskis. It's about a triggering factor. Something happens in the very first episode that, like, telepathically awakens 8 people across the U.S. or across the entire world. Mm-hmm. Who, through the course of the show, it doesn't happen all at once. They all see this event wherever they're doing. It shows them kind of in the middle of their job or whatever they're doing, seeing this event, and then over the whole series, they slowly start to kind of become aware of one another. If two characters are experiencing similar emotions, they may like show up in each other where they're at. Like if they're sitting in a museum kind of bummed out about something, the other one will turn around in her kitchen and see him sitting there and kind of walk over and they'll start talking. And it, through the show, they have access to each other's skills and abilities, their language skills. Like there's a few instances, they're always talking in English. I think it's for us, the viewer.
Right, yeah.
But they make a point when they're talking to each other. At one point, they'll be like, are you speaking Swahili? Like, do you know South Korea? You know, like, mm-hmm. So it's pretty neat, the different skills they use there. But, like, they have, it's beautiful. The locations in the show, like Reykjavik, Iceland, Berlin, Germany, Mumbai, Nairobi, all these different locations. And because they're popping into each other's brains, one scene they'll be in Mumbai talking, and the next, in the middle of the conversation, they're switching to Berlin. And you can tell it's not just some dumb set somewhere. I mean, some of it could have been. They add right. a lot in post.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Some of them are just these gorgeous landscapes, and they're cutting back and forth. So I don't know. They must have filmed the entire conversation in one place, the entire conversation in another place, and then just kind of edited them together wherever they saw fit. But it's pretty great. Like, they have scenes where a character's getting beat up, and he's kind of just reaching out, trying for anything to summon the courage to fight against them. And one of the characters is a really good fighter, actually a couple of them, but she kind of sees this guy in trouble, and next thing you know, you see her, this woman, mm-hmm. kicking the crap out of, like, 7 dudes, just beating them down, and then it kind of cuts back to him, and it's him. He's, like, bloody and bruised, but it's kind of how they're sharing their abilities. And as you have a show like this, they spend a lot of time just dealing with character development,
right?
Which is great. There's some fantastic characters from across the globe with a lot of different backgrounds, different experiences. My favorite part of the show isn't really the overarching storyline. It is these characters' lives and what's going on with them and how they're able to, like, they're constantly coming up with problems they have to deal with, but they're rising to the challenge each time. And sometimes they need the help of one of the other sensates, as they call them.
Okay, yeah.
Hence the name.
Right.
And that little bit of advice or help, you know, physical help sometimes, is all they need. But it's great. There's some fantastic stuff going on in the show. And there is a story that's tying them all together. Something, somebody, some people are aware of them. And they are not the only ones in the world.
Okay.
And so they're people that are tracking them down. So there's some weird rules that some stuff kind of makes, well, a lot of it doesn't really make sense because it's supposed to be kind of sci-fi, but.
Well, you know, it's Krasinski and it's Wachowski siblings, so, you know, it does, I would be surprised if it did all make sense.
It's my favorite thing the Wachowskis have touched since the first Matrix movie, honestly.
Oh, wow, okay.
I mean, I like the other two Matrix
movies. Not even Speed Racer?
That's fun for its own campy values and because I love Christina Ricci.
Oh, yeah.
But beyond that, you know, it's my favorite thing. It's because they don't try too much. It's a lot, and it's a lot to kind of figure out what's going on, the rules and everything. I don't know if Straczynski's having a calming hand or if they're just – they know they have enough time to explain everything. They don't have to try to shove everything in there like they did with Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
But that's my problem with them half the time is they just try too much in a small movie.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's the thing. With both the Wachowskis and Straczynski, alone, both groups of them, they have a hard time kind of reining it in. Because remember when, was it Straczynski was writing Superman?
There, oh, was he?
Yeah, there a couple years ago. And that was the Superman Grounded storyline, like where he decided to just walk across America.
Oh, right, right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't very good because he wasn't, like, kept in check. He was just kind of allowed to do whatever. And the same thing with the Wachowskis. They, you know, when they're left to their own devices, they kind of just, they don't know when enough is enough. You know?
Right.
So maybe by them working together and kind of keeping each other in check, that's really what's helping them kind of help this project gel.
Well, then I hope one of them works with Neil Blomkamp. Because when I think of two people that they try to put way too much into a single movie, it's those two. He has great ideas. He just gets bogged down with
Elysium had too much. Had way too much stuff in it.
Yeah. I thought the same, a little bit of Chappie. I think there was completely unnecessary elements in Chappie.
I really like Chappie.
Me too. I actually really liked it myself. I just thought there were parts District that didn't 9. Need to be in there. Me too. I love District 9.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I've watched a bunch of other stuff, but Sense8 was kind of the big thing I watched that I can actually speak to because the other stuff's like the newest episode of True Detective. It's the first episode of the season. It's confusing.
Well, sure.
There's some weird nonlinear parts they don't explain too well. Yeah. But
How
I feel
Vince Vaughn in it?
Good. I didn't know what any of the characters' roles were going to be in it. I just knew who was going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel McAdams kind of surprises me with the way she's playing her character.
Okay.
Vince Vaughn, I don't have a peg on what his character is, but he seems interesting. And then Colin Farrell is kind of a scumbag, but
he's playing
new.
To his strengths, so
exactly. I mean, he does have a bullseye on his forehead, which is really weird for the role.
It's a weird choice. Yeah,
he kept asking for
spoiler alert, it was not makeup for Bullseye.
Method actor. He exactly. really did carve
he
that
did
bullseye in his forehead.
He's
yeah.
giving Shia LaBeouf a run for his money.
Yeah. Just do it.
That's right.
All right. Well, I haven't been checking out a whole lot this week. And that's where our recording cut out. Hey, folks. Sam here. This is going to be kind of a weirdly edited show. Please bear with me. The second half of this with myself and both of the Joshes turned out just fine. But for whatever reason, the second half of the first half decided to not work anymore. So we're just going to fill in this. But luckily, Sam and Cody are back.
Hey,
hey guys.
Just got back from vacation.
Yeah, all right. So we have about 10 minutes to kind of talk about stuff. So if you have anything, check it out, or you want to talk about vacation or, you know, whatever for 10 minutes.
Stories of Chicago.
There we go.
Actually, we went to Medieval Times, which was really cool.
Excellent.
Fits in the nerdy wheelhouse. It was great. I mean, if you want to watch a bunch of dorky dudes with swords fight each other to the fake death while you eat chicken with your hands and drink soup, I would recommend it.
Now, do you eat soup with your hands? Is it just a bowl of soup that you just slurp down?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Exactly, yeah.
Right on.
It's a bowl of soup with a little handle on it. You just slurp it down.
Excellent.
Like I named our knight Sir Dweebus.
he looked like somebody's dungeon master.
Probably was.
Oh, right on.
They were all pretty, like, long-haired, dorky. Yeah, well, they're basically paid LARPers. So they're living the dream.
They are living the dream. You're right. That's excellent.
But it was a great show. It was fun.
Some fantastic light show.
Yeah. The story was for a dinner theater show, was kind of, you know, entertaining.
Cool.
I didn't think they actually fought to the death. Well, like, not actually.
I was going to say.
Yeah, they fake
fun. I want to clarify that.
Like, I didn't think story-wise the knights were going to die, but they do.
Oh, right.
And our knight died the second fight out.
Aww.
Because they put you each in a section and have you cheer for a different knight.
Okay.
We got the red knight, and he was the second one to die. But they do elaborate, like, sword fights. The swords shoot sparks out when they collide.
Oh, cool.
It was really cool. Other than that, I mean, we went to the Field Museum, which is their big natural history museum in Chicago. That was cool.
They have a new Viking exhibit.
Yeah.
The Vikings. Really, really cool. Yeah. Had all kinds of Viking stuff.
Yeah, we got to lift a Viking sword.
All right.
Not as heavy as you would think.
Yeah.
Huh. Excellent.
What else? Oh, what else was new there? The mammoth?
There was a mammoth exhibit. And they had a cast replica of that. They found like a baby mammoth that was perfectly preserved. Like,
oh wow.
Completely. And they had a replica of that. It was real weird looking.
Oh, that is cool. Awesome. I don't know what else to say about that than awesome.
I keep wanting to say Cleveland. Chicago Field Museum is like one of the best. Like, seriously, I have so much stuff. Like, I've been there twice and I don't think we've seen everything in the one go.
Yeah, well, we were there from opening to close, and we didn't see the whole thing.
Wow. I
saw a movie about Sue the dinosaur.
Oh, yeah, they have that T-Rex there, Sue. It's like the most complete T-Rex skeleton ever found.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really cool.
Cool.
You want to talk about U2?
Yeah, we went to a U2 concert with my dad.
All right.
Because he loves U2.
Yeah.
I don't hate U2, but I don't love U2 either, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I like U2.
Okay.
Because, I mean, growing up listening to it.
Yeah.
Well, sure, yeah.
And, it was a good show, because...
Oh, yeah, they put on an amazing show.
Yeah.
They've been torn as big as they are. Oh, yeah, I bet they put on a heck of a
money
show. Yeah.
But their stage setup was pretty awesome.
Yeah. It was like they had one main stage and then a small stage on the other side of the arena, and there was a length between it that they could walk up and down.
Oh, cool.
And a big hanging screen that they could drop into that space between the two stages.
They had a screen on both sides.
Huh.
Like, yeah. It was like a net looking thing when it wasn't turned on.
Mm-hmm.
But it had like a walkway underneath. So like Bono would get like in between the screens and like a video would be playing and he'd like be in.
Oh, that's cool.
In the video.
That's cool.
Oh, but it brought some laughs, though, too.
Yeah, okay. It was awkward at parts. There was a part where...
I have a picture of the one. I'll show you
okay.
in a minute.
Yeah.
The Edge was on the walkway, and Bono was on the stage at the end posing, like, with his hand out. So mm-hmm. on the screen, it looked like he was holding the Edge in his hand.
Like a tiny little Edge.
Yeah, like he had a tiny Edge in his hand. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's amazing.
And the song about Bono's mom, I guess. There's a
Mamo?
Mamo.
But there's like, they put like a space theme like
okay.
on the screen.
Space
like,
mom?
Constellations.
Okay.
And,
but then they like superimpose like a live feed of Bono's like face into like.
Oh, wow. So he was like Space Cat or like Three Wolf Moon Bono?
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Space Bono.
Excellent.
I got a picture of that. You have,
I have to see that.
I wish I would have got one at the Edge, but I think it's when people were standing up too much.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good show. Even if you're not a huge U2 fan, you'll be entertained.
That sounds good. Sounds really good.
And more regular stuff, I actually read some comics recently.
Oh, cool.
I read the new Starfire, and I thought it was dumb.
Yeah, but was it offensively dumb?
Only slightly.
Well, then it's a plus.
It was way too similar to the Harley Quinn comics.
It's being written by the same people.
Yeah, it was by the same people.
Yeah.
But it needs to do something to differentiate itself from Harley Quinn, because right now it's too.
And I'm sure it will eventually, but.
But there was a lot. There was some dumb nudity that was there for no reason. Played for jokes that weren't funny.
Yeah, well, it's Starfire, unfortunately. That is her comic book character.
Why
so.
Can't I walk around naked?
Yeah.
That's what it was. That
well,
was basically the joke.
Well, in the comics, her planet, they don't wear clothes. So it's, and they've kind of reverted her back to fresh off the spaceship kind of alien, right? So
yeah, she's fresh on Earth and the cops helping her like fit in
gotcha.
On planet Earth.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the worst, but it was just dumb. Yeah. It was dumb.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that sounds almost exactly how she was written back in the 80s when the character was first created. So, I mean, unfortunately, you're not going to get, like, the Teen Titans, like, cartoon version of Starfire.
I mean,
although
it was close to that. It was close to that.
With gratuitous cheesecake stuff.
And, I don't know. They could have just did it better. Because there's nothing, like, I can understand cheesecake, but it just wasn't good.
Yeah.
Like, it's stuff we should be past at this point. Like,
yeah,
you can do that, but also please try to deliver some sort of interesting story. It doesn't really.
Yeah.
Like, it might get better. I'd give it another chance.
Okay, cool.
And I read Black Canary, too, and that was great.
It's a good companion to the Batgirl book. It's really good. I like that one as well. I didn't pick it up, but I did flip through it in the store, which is probably the worst thing a comic company would want to hear.
You got to pay bills, yo.
Yeah, I know. Well, we have about 2 minutes here, and my Check It Out got eaten, so I'm going to skip the one that I really talked about a lot, which was the comic Prez. About the team president.
I need to read that.
Yeah,
I'll
talk about that one next week after you read it or whatever. It's really good. I'll let you borrow it. But I got caught up on Steven Universe. I watched everything that was on Hulu, the first 35 episodes.
Cool.
And I like it. I mean,
how far is that?
The last episode was the Stevenite episode where Steven and Connie merged together for the first time. That is where it stops, which I think is like halfway into the second season or something like that.
Yeah, that's about halfway through the series, I think.
Okay.
It's about a halfway point.
Okay. Well, I mean, I like it. I mean, it's definitely has some, it's very similar to Adventure Time in tone at points. And I like Amethyst. I think I know she's going to end up being like the least developed character of the three.
Oh no, actually,
she has,
really, yeah.
Further on, she has at least one episode I can think of off the top of my head.
That's cool, but I like his dad. I like Greg Universe.
Oh, I love Greg.
The lovable loser.
Greg, yeah.
Like he tries
really hard.
Kinda.
And and you know what? He knows that Steven has this whole magical thing, and he knows that he is not equipped to like deal with it. So that's why he's.
Later
purposely
on,
kind of taken a step back from it, you know?
Later on, there's some episodes where it's like...
Oh, there's episodes that are full-on flashbacks to Greg and Rose when they're younger.
That's cool, because I saw the one with the VHS tape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was
like
the first time you see his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good episode. And you know what? I like the series. I mean, it's... I'm not a rabid fan like, you know, some people are. But, I mean, I like it. It's good. It's enjoyable. Yeah, I think we're going to go ahead. Do you have anything, Samantha, before we go?
I think so. Is that all we needed?
That's really all we needed. So, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to jump back to the recording I did with the Joshes. And we'll have a regular show from there on out. Guys, thanks again for stopping in for a couple minutes and filling in like this.
Enjoy the rest of the show. I hear it's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be back in studio next week. Regular show. Actually, we're going to have an interview. Let's go ahead and talk. Tease that real quick. Chris Bidwell, the guy from Columbus who was the... he was the Chicago representative from the for the Nintendo
World Championships.
We're actually going to get a chance to sit down and talk with him for a little bit. And we're really excited about it. So so make sure to tune into that. And,
See ya.
See you after the break.
Nerd Overload is brought to you in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and more. Replays is a place for all your gaming needs, from retro up through current-gen systems and accessories. They even have a free customer rewards program. Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, across from the Marion Plaza. 751-4072 or online at facebook.com/replaysmarion.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by Creative Foundations.
Hi, my name is Robert.
Hi, my name is Amber.
Hi, my name is Jessica.
I'm Jimmy, and I work at Crave Foundations,
a store that employs people with developmental disabilities.
We have four locations:
Delaware, Mount Vernon, Marysville, and Urbana.
Our website is creativefoundations.org.
Find us on Facebook.
Well, welcome back. You were just listening to the Spider-Man theme song covered by the Ramones. Really good cover. I mean, I dig it quite a bit.
I like the Ramones.
Yeah, they're
kind of like Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a good thing because I think we're going to go roll into some general Spider-Man news.
Oh, man, my Spidey senses are tingling.
It's been a big week for Spider-Man.
It really, really has. Yeah. I mean, Marvel has announced finally that we have our Spider-Man in the Sony / MCU.
Right, yeah.
Yep, named Tom Holland.
Okay.
Seems to be a pretty young kid from the UK.
What's this with them casting, like, British guys for Spider-Man?
I mean, liked Andrew Garfield.
I liked him, too. He had a weird-looking face. Weren't great, like, his head was weird. And, like,
I think it was mostly his hair.
Yeah. He looked like Mech Tonight.
Kinda, yeah. You know,
the old McDonald's, like, Crescent Moon, like, playing pianos.
Yeah.
Selling Big Macs.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember Mech Tonight. Okay, you talk about Spider-Man. I'm going to pull up a picture of Mech Tonight.
All right. So far, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the kid. He doesn't have a huge... I mean, he has some stuff he's done. I guess he was in The Secret World of Ari Eddy, and he was in Locke with Tom Hardy, the two that I actually know of here. But, I mean, they've cast him for Civil War and his own reboot.
Oh, right on. Right on.
That is a nice picture. Looks like he should be selling Lunesta or something.
Yeah, right.
Is that Jay Leno?
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, I mean, this is good casting. I mean, you know, I like it when they cast a relatively unknown actors for these roles. I think
it seems to be working in their favor.
Yeah,
absolutely. They're not coming in with a lot of baggage. A lot of, like, I'm not watching, like, oh, that's not Deadpool, that's Green Lantern. I mean, two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Right. Two guys, a girl, and a Deadpool. So
yeah, I
for everyone.
I'm willing to watch. From what I was reading, it seems like he met with a bunch of people. They met a ton of people.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he met with Kevin Feige, and they met.
Yeah,
they met a ton of people, and everyone seemed to really like his performance. So I mean, if he. They've really done a great job with Guardians, with all their movies so far, with casting. I haven't really felt, like, any of the Marvel movies, I haven't felt anybody falling really flat.
Yeah,
I'm willing to give it a chance.
I'm willing to give it a chance, too. Yeah, like I said, some of their movies have been a little weaker than others, but for the most part, they've all been successes, more or less.
I think probably one of the bigger, not bigger stumbles, but you know, the ones where they kind of maybe didn't quite hit the mark was maybe, like, The Incredible Hulk with... Edward Norton in it.
And that was partial Universal as well.
Correct? Yeah. I kind of count that one a little before. Like, I start kind of with your Iron Man. Like, kind of skip it.
It came out after Iron Man.
I know, but they don't really touch back on that one too much. Honestly, though, I really liked that movie a lot.
Oh, I do too.
I felt like the first half felt like a Bourne movie. He's running through, you know, Central America and all this stuff. Don't Make Me Hungry. You won't like me when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
The little reference for Stan Lee. Like, obviously, those are all meant to be in there. I liked him... Roth, I think he's over the top. He's crazy over the top as Emil Blonsky.
But it works.
But I like him, and I liked I liked Edward Norton. I would really like to see the version that he and Louis Leterrier, I'm not sure how to pronounce his
name.
I would like to see the version that they wanted to make. I know it would have been longer, but there was all that fighting when it was about to come out because they wanted it to be edited differently. They wanted more in. And the studio didn't want it to be a 3-hour-long movie,
right?
So they cut it down.
I wish we would have gotten a sequel with Tim Blake Nelson as the leader. I think he would have made an excellent leader.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They teased him. I mean, they didn't just tease him. They, like, outright, like, showed him turning into the character.
Yeah. Doc Samson was in there, too.
Yeah. The guy from Modern Family.
Modern Family.
Yeah. What's his name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But also the fact that in Civil War, Thunderbolt Ross is coming back.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, same guy. That'll be how they tie that movie in a little bit more.
Right.
I mean, I know that, I think, wasn't Iron Man in the end of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tony Stark comes into a Ross
bar.
Is sitting in a bar, and Tony comes in, and he's like, the smell of stale beer and failure, or something like
right.
that.
Something like
and
that.
Then
yeah,
and Ross is like, Tony Stark, you always wear such the best suits.
Yeah. You know, I like that movie, but I think Ruffalo works better in the ensemble cast.
I do. I really
Norton
enjoy him.
I don't. I just can't see Norton working with the Avengers cast the way Ruffalo is.
No,
I like Norton, but yeah, I agree. I think
he's got better chemistry.
I didn't think anyone was going to be. It was one of those things. I try not. I'm learning as I get older, which is surprising because it seems like everyone gets all cranky. But I'm learning to just kind of wait and see. I was not like I was upset that because I liked that movie. That it is leaps and bounds better than the previous Incredible Hulk movie.
There was a previous Hulk movie?
It was Daredevil was in it. And
what?
There was
There was another one with Thor.
Yeah, there was another one with Thor running around New York City back in the 70s.
where Tonal Blake isn't even Thor. He just has a hammer that can call Thor.
That was in the comics for a while. That was his stories. I didn't think Ruffalo. I was like, Ruffalo, like, he was with Reese Witherspoon with that dead girl in the house kind of movie, the love story. He did a great job, though. He's amazing in the role.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I mean, I wish that movie had done a little better, the previous Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Amadeus Cho was supposed to be in it.
Right.
Which could have, I don't know what they would have done with him.
They actually teased that character in Ultron. Because the woman who was working, that created the process to create the vision, her last name is Choi, and she is supposed to be the mother of Amadeus Cho, or Choi, or whatever.
Yeah.
They hint at that.
Okay.
One thing I wish that Marvel would do with as far as the Hulk character goes, stop making him such a snarly monster. Yes, I understand he's angry and he yells and screams a lot. But in, like, you know, in The Incredible Hulk, he didn't talk much, but he talked a little bit. And then he says one line in The Avengers, and then Age of Ultron, it's just...
I'd like to see Smart Hulk.
I would,
pop
too.
Pop up, or at least Joe Fix
it. Joe Fix it would be the best.
It would be difficult to explain, but, you know...
why is he a
gray pinstripe suited Hulk?
Why is he a mobster?
As a bouncer in, like, Las Vegas?
Well, you remember I forget which one it was. This is going to be horrible for my nerd cred, but the Superman where is it the second one where he tricks them into switching it to where they lose their powers and he regains his...
Yeah.
We'll just have some scene in the future Hulk movie where they flip it where, like, when he's Banner, he's super, he's like, they got the mentality of the Hulk.
Yeah.
But when he's the Hulk, he's as smart as Banner.
See, they did that in the comics. That's why you always saw Smart Hulk, you never saw Banner, because he would be the mindless, you know, and he'd be trying to smash things and he's like little wimpy arms flailing about.
That would be funny. Yeah. Sitting running around.
Yeah. But anyways, they also have getting back to Spider-Man, they also have the director.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah, they do. He's got the new movie coming out with Kevin Bacon called Cop Car.
Okay.
Is
he a cop that becomes a car? Is it like My Mother, the Car?
I think that's exactly what the movie's about.
Fantastic. I'm in.
I'll have his name in 1 second.
My Mother, the Cop Car.
John Watts.
Okay.
There we go.
Cool. And he's a relatively new director as well.
Yeah. He's got a couple things. He's got 13 directorial credits to his name, but most of it's pretty... like small things I've never heard of. He helped direct a couple episodes of the Onion News Network when it was on TV.
Oh yeah.
And Onion Sports
moment.
Dome.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But Cop Car is like the only one I see on here that has stars in it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Cop Car is not about a cop who turns into a car.
Oh, bummer.
It's about a sheriff who's trying to find some kids who stole his car and joyride.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I don't know what they saw in his work. I've yet to check his work out, so I don't know what they saw.
I think him and the producer, Kevin Feige.
Feige.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think they're friends.
I always get those mixed up because it's Paul Feig and Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
And it's one E is the only difference between their last names.
Well, I think they're friends.
Okay. Yeah.
And him, and you know, he's becoming a big producer now, and he's real heavy into Sony, and plus he's doing like his female Ghostbuster and that spy movie with Melissa McCarthy.
Right.
A lot of Melissa McCarthy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they know each other, and it's kind of one of those things where I'm trying to help out my budding directorial friend.
Right, right.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
And it might work out for him, you know?
I hope so.
I mean, I'm excited for Spider-Man. I reserve judgment until I actually see something.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. I mean, there's we were just talking. I mean, I can't sit there and just dump on some movie that I know nothing about yet. I those days I think are behind me, because every time I'm like, that's going to be terrible.
Not even the DC ends. Movies?
Well, I'm...
But, yeah.
I'm reluctant. I'm reluctant
we
to make judgment.
We dump on the DC a lot here.
I'm very reluctant to make a judgment. I don't have high hopes, but...
Everything
I'm,
that... Yeah, I do.
All I have are hopes.
I want to... I think I'm the same way. I want to reserve judgment until I see the movie, but everything that I see come out from the DC camp has been not good.
Yeah.
So it doesn't give me much hope for it. All right. Well, speaking of Spider-Man stuff, we actually have some comic Spider-Man news as well.
Miles Morales is going to be headlining the his basically the Spider-Man books.
Right. Now, Miles Morales was the Spider-Man in the Ultimates line. The Ultimates line were a kind of a soft reboot for the Marvel Universe. They did about – it started, what, about 10 years ago? At least 10 years ago.
The Ultimate Universe started, like
10, 15 years ago. Yeah. And what it was that it was Marvel's attempt to have all of their characters, you know, like have origin stories in the modern day without going and just redoing it. You know, all of their main continuity. So they kind of split it off. And it's been part of it has been successful, part of it hasn't.
The only successful things to come out of the Ultimate Universe was Spider-Man and the Ultimates.
Right. And Brian Michael Bendis' career. Because,
yes.
That's, you know, before that he did Powers and that was pretty much it.
I mean, because Ultimate X-Men wasn't very good. Ultimate Fantastic Four wasn't very good.
The Ultimates were not good. But that's actually where we got the Sam Jackson and Nick Fury from. Because that's...
A lot of the Marvel stories are kind of like a meshing of the two.
The new Ultimates or whatever they're calling themselves, the young kids who are now the new Ultimate team with Miles Morales. I mean, it's probably pre-whatever's going on right now. But I was reading that for a while. I actually liked it. It had the clone of... Spider-Woman, who's a clone of Peter Parker, who... In that world, she likes girls, and she specifically likes redheads.
Yeah,
which is
she's a clone of Peter Parker. Right, it's kind of what
it's a little nod to that direction. But and Kitty Pryde's in it, and other characters,
right.
Cloak and Dagger,
and stuff.
And I liked it. I mean, it's the villains are kind of lame that they were fighting, but you know, I liked it. I thought it was actually pretty interesting.
Anyways, that line is going away. They're ending the Ultimates line.
Everything is going to be in one Marvel universe.
Right, and they're taking whatever worked in the Ultimates universe and moving them over to the main. And it's an event called Battle World. It's going on right now in Marvel.
Secret Wars 2 / Battle World.
Yeah. Anyways, one of the only things that's really working that's getting transferred over is Spider-Man.
Yeah, Miles.
Yep. Miles Morales, who is... part Latino, part African American.
Yep.
And people have been kind of wondering what's going to happen to this character because he's like the one good thing that's come out of Marvel Ultimates in the last 5 or 6 years. He is being transferred over to the main continuity and he's getting his own book. It's just called Spider-Man. There's no adjective, so I'm calling it the adjectiveless Spider-Man. But
because I think Peter is still in his book, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Right. That's what people are kind of losing their mind a little bit over because like, oh man, they're going to our Spider-Man's going to be black now. What are we going to do? There's no more Peter Parker. Well, no, Spider-Man's going to be around. Peter Parker's still going to be around, and he's going to be a major character in the Miles Morales book. He's going to be because Miles is like 14 or 15.
Yeah, he's
years
young.
Old. He's a kid.
He's not as experienced as Peter.
And he's being mentored by.
Is he coming with his best friend Genki? Is he coming with his friend like family?
They're thinking that when this is all said and done, their timeline is going to be kind of like shunted into the Marvel universe. So it's going to be like he's always existed, which means
his
supporting cast
everything.
Is also going to be kind of integrated in.
Okay,
but we don't know yet because I mean
it's not finished.
We just don't know.
Business as usual on Tuesday, though. That's the thing that's kind of that you just have to like. Yeah, let's not think about it. All the superheroes have to deal with it, but then all the normal people.
Yeah.
My job. How am I going to get it? Because in this universe, that coffee shop already has done baristas.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, don't worry about them.
Yeah. But anyways, this character is being moved in, and you know, some people are seeing it as a surprise. It's not a surprise. He had been teased as a member of the new Avengers.
Like since
months
like
ago.
Since we, like three comic book
And
day.
It's something we've talked about on the show. So I'm not surprised that the character's in. I'm happy that the character's going to be included. Because like I said, it's like the one good thing about Marvel Ultimates now.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I was reading.
Yeah. It's the only thing everyone's reading. That's why they're getting rid of the line.
Yeah.
But beyond that, there are a couple other announcements for Battleworld. There hasn't been a whole lot yet, but in 2 weeks, it's going to be San Diego Comic-Con.
Right.
That's when... All the news is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and I am both excited and dreading it.
Yes,
it's
a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but a couple of things that are coming out of it. A new Doctor Strange book, where he's taking a more hands-on approach to, like, he's like a Ghostbuster almost.
Yeah.
Like, when there's a supernatural problem, he makes house calls. He just kind of shows up and deals with it.
Nice.
Which is good. I mean, that's a good take on the character. I get kind of tired of the, you know, staying in the background, you know, ethereal kind of.
Yeah, being in the Illuminati like he normally is.
Yeah, I like the hands-on, like, just go get it done, Doctor Strange.
I think part of it is so people can get... re-acclimated with the character for when his movie comes out.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of this coming for is because of the movies. The other thing is Kelly Sue DeConnick is going to be stepping down from her writer's role on the Captain Marvel book.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that I'm really kind of worried about because that was really kind of her baby. And I'm worried that other writers aren't going to be able to handle the character to the level that DeConnick was able to.
Yeah, I mean,
especially if they bring in a male writer.
Yeah,
are you talking Carol Danvers?
Talking Carol Danvers.
Yeah. Is it any good? I haven't been reading.
It's been excellent. It's been very, very good.
I've been reading Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel.
I just haven't been reading any Captain Marvel, so I didn't know.
Well, she's getting ready to start her whole Carol Corps thing.
Right.
Oh, right.
Which are basically her and a bunch of female fighter pilots.
Yeah, basically. But it's the comic's been really good, and I'm really kind of hoping that the comic continues.
Yeah.
I just hope it doesn't, like,
pull suffer. Like a Batwoman?
Yeah. Yeah. I hope it doesn't suffer from the main writer leaving.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, one can hope. Maybe someone will come in that, like, maybe respects her the way she's been writing the character.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't have her crawling over the side of a building in spandex.
Oh, God, like that Spider-Woman
cover. Oh, man.
Hopefully they're not tone-deaf to the character. Yeah, I haven't been reading it, but I hate when a book has a hard shift. Like, and this is going back a time.
I know Batgirl's hard shift was pretty good.
I didn't read it.
When she went from the one line to her Batgirl of Burnside line.
I guess I fell off. I was reading when it was...
Gail Simone was writing it.
When the new 52 first kicked off, I would think I was reading it a lot of the time, but then I kind of fell off somewhere around there.
Okay.
Well, about almost a year ago now, probably. No.
Maybe 8 or 9 months
ago. Yeah, 8 or 9 months ago.
It was kind of a soft reboot to kind of test the waters before DC's reboot, which is happening now.
Yes.
It's kind of what's going on.
So before or after she got married? Didn't she get married to her girlfriend or...
That was Batwoman.
I'm talking Batgirl.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about. That's why I was so confused.
No. I'm talking Batgirl.
Okay, Batgirl with the new costume and everything.
Yeah, the new costume. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Being in,
I heard good things about that. Yeah,
it was good. It was fun.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It was definitely a shift from the very serious.
I'm thinking there was before the New 52. I was reading like The Outsiders, Batman mm-hmm. The Outsiders.
Yeah,
and there's just a point. It was right around the time of the War of the Supermen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point where it was Geoff Johns or the other guy. I don't know. Anyway, he takes over the book, and it's like a hard, hard shift. Like, you're slipping gears. The whole tone of the book, everything changes. Like, mm-hmm. Geo-Force turns into a massive jerk.
Oh, yeah. I was reading it around that time as well.
Yeah, it was horrible. I had to put it down. It was the first time I ever noticed, like, a change in writer, because it wasn't like, oh, wow, he's acting a little bit more jerky than
he is. It was jarring.
It was like Eradicator Superman showed up.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
very, very hard for me to – I stopped reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been reading it since when I think it was Batman and the Outsiders, and then it dropped to just The Outsiders. And I've been reading it for a long time. I just had to stop it. I couldn't read it anymore.
Yeah. I hate it when that happens, when you have like a real hard shift. It's bad. It kills titles. I mean, it's done that with the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Because the Green Arrow from the New 52 wasn't the strongest book, but at least they were taking it in a new direction.
No.
And then they brought in, out of nowhere, around issue 30, 35. I mean, the series was getting really good. They had a really good arc with, like, different, like, clans of, like, you know, warriors and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they brought in the writers from the TV series, and it, like, well, like riding a bike, it, like, popped the chain off almost. Mm-hmm. It was just that much of a gear shift.
Yeah.
It just was... just didn't work.
Why wouldn't they just have if they're going to have the writers from the TV show come in, there's already a comic line based around the Arrowverse. Like, I like the show. I like all the DC shows that are on right now, even the ones that just got canceled, unfortunately.
Yeah, Constantine.
It stinks. That show started off rocky. I thought it was getting better and better every episode.
It was. It really was. I was really enjoying it. And that huge cliffhanger there, and then it's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really bummed me out. I was hoping it would get picked up. And even, it's one of the things I do like Stephen Amell from Arrow. I think he's seems like a really decent dude. But, like, he was petitioning try and get DC to pick up Constantine.
Someone to pick up Constantine.
Because that would have been I think it would have been a coup for them. They could have switched all the characters over. Put, you know, they like to do it with The Flash and everything. And mm-hmm. this new, was it Legends of the DCU?
Something like that. Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow. They're going to be mixing characters over on there.
And I actually heard that they're looking to expand
Hawkgirl
into her own TV series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And
actually, the last episode of Flash, Hawkgirl actually shows up.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't see her as Hawk Girl, but the woman who is going to be Hawk Girl.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I watched the episode. I don't remember. I did see
she was like a face in the crowd looking up into the sky.
Oh, really? I saw the Jay Garrick's helmet come flying into the
air. That was the best.
That was awesome. Okay, we have a couple more things we want to talk about here. Sorry, we're trying to change it. Speaking of switching gears real quick, have you heard about this Denny's like promotion with the Fantastic Four movie?
Not until today, but it does not surprise me.
Yeah, they've named a handful of different of their dishes after, you know, Fantastic Four characters for this. The Human Torch Skillet was one of them.
So.
And the Invisible Woman Slam. That does not roll off the tongue at all.
I just can't wait to get something with some thing sauce on it.
With the thing sauce, that's right. Yes, it's extra chunky.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what? They did this with the Hobbit. It's just
it works with the Hobbit. It doesn't work with the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, it's a weird promotional tie-in.
I mean, it's Denny's.
Yeah,
not exactly the world's best food.
I mean, if you have a meal already on your menu called a Moons Over My Hammy, it's not above them to make like puns. The Dr. Doom lava cake.
They're not even puns, though.
I know.
I mean, the Human Torch skillet is, you know, as long as it's extra spicy, it's extra hot. You know, that's fine. But they're not even trying. It's not even like
no.
funny, you know?
Yeah, it seems
because at least with the
lame.
Hobbit, you had like second breakfast or whatever.
Yeah,
you could call it that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and they had that
potatoes.
Yeah,
we could have done it if you wanted. Fry them up, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Yeah,
but no, I tell you, when the Hobbit dishes were coming out, I went to Denny's probably more than I should.
Nice. I just hope that this they've yet to announce anything with Mr. Fantastic, and I hope they're cheese sticks.
That I guess that
or works. Undercooked bacon.
Yeah, there we go. Some undercooked bacon, some stretchy, chewy bacon.
That's they're saving that for the GLA tie-in.
Oh God, with
Flatman.
Flatman, yeah.
Who wants to join the Great Lakes Avengers? Yeah. No one.
Yep. Okay. Something else coming up. Yeah, I know. I'm starting to get hungry too. Something in the this is more like news than I think we usually cover. Remember Jake Lloyd? Remember Star Wars Episode 1, the Phantom Menace, Phantom Pain?
I think I've kind of pushed that out of my mind.
That wizard actor.
Yes. Well, you know, he is...
He's grown up.
He's grown up, but he just can't leave that pod racing lifestyle behind. He was actually arrested here the other day. He was down in Texas, is that what it was?
Something like that.
Something like that. Something down south where he was arrested for illegal street racing and driving without a license.
That's the least of his concerns recently. There's also news that the cops were called to his parents' house, or to his mom's house, about a week before. I guess she says he was diagnosed with schizophrenia when he was 19.
Oh.
And he's been medicated for a while, but he's been off of his meds lately.
Oh, here, I thought you were going to make a joke about midichlorians.
Yeah, well, his midichlorian count's really low right now. It's chemical imbalance.
Chemical imbalance, yeah.
So, no, I guess he beat his mom up, too. Not really fun news.
The dark side. It's the dark side.
Dark side is strong with young Anakin.
Yeah, some kind of Tusken Raiders were on or something. I don't know. But yeah, so he's got a lot of issues right now. It's funny when
most
it's just
child actors
just racing.
Do.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame about, you know, a lot of child actors. They just can't, for whatever one reason or another, they just can't
shake
they just can't shake it a lot of times. It's a real shame.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he was the best actor in the world, but like, he was a cute kid.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, you can't...
I mean, he wasn't like the next, like, Haley Joel Osment or anything like that.
Well, yeah, his face still kind of looks normal-sized. so he's got that going for him.
Yeah, hit that mugshot. He just looks like... He's a weird-looking dude. He's grown into an awkward-looking adult.
Yeah, and that definitely doesn't help.
No.
And growing up under the eye of the public is...
Yeah, that doesn't...
You know, too much money, and I don't know. I don't want to make judgments about the parenting or anything because that's we know nothing. But
well, I mean, yeah,
it's usually a recipe for disaster. The few that can make it out without too much trouble, they're rare.
Yeah,
very.
Yeah. I mean,
very rare.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of I can't even think of any off the top of my head child actors that kind of survived.
Most of the Harry Potter kids are doing pretty good.
Clint Howard.
Clint Howard did survive it. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
Clint Howard.
I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, Daniel Radcliffe took a hard... He had a trouble with alcohol abuse there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was coming to the set. That was even when he was on the set.
Yeah.
I mean, he's... I guess it's... He's surviving. He is acting still. He's doing stuff. it was always going to be a risk for any of them. I mean, maybe Emma Watson to have the same level of success once you leave a franchise as huge as Harry Potter.
Yeah. All right. But again, with Radcliffe, he doesn't really seem too worried about meeting that same level of celebrity.
He seems to be just fine with who he is.
You know, he's making enough money off of residuals that he doesn't have to do anything again. So he has the option to just choose projects that he wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing Broadway.
And he did that movie Horns, which was really good. Horns.
I started to watch the other day, and my internet cut out. Or
Horns
something.
Was really good. He
did The Woman in Black.
Is that based on the book?
It is.
Yes. Is it based on the book by dude who wrote Heart-Shaped Box? Joe Hill,
yeah.
Okay, Stephen King's son.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. I read Heart-Shaped Box, and then it was one of those, like, it came with the first chapter, the first whatever of the... of Horn, so I read it and I was like, "Oh, that seems pretty interesting," and then I just never read it.
My wife read the book and she really, really liked it.
Yeah. But I mean, look at speaking of Harry Potter, look at Rupert Grint. What has he done? He bought an ice cream truck
and he was giving it away for free, though.
Yeah,
at least
that's
doing
awesome.
Nice stuff.
But I mean,
if I had the money, I would totally do that.
Yeah. But
and,
I mean,
Tom Felton's done some things here and there.
He has.
He was in
Planet of the Apes.
The first one. Yeah.
Well, was it Matthew Lewis, the guy who played Neville Longbottom, just recently posed in his underwear for a magazine?
That was weird.
You want to talk about an awkward-looking kid who grew up into a
very attractive man. I'm okay.
Yes.
he's a good looking guy.
Though I do love J.K. Rowling on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that was a funny
She is
funny
the
exchange.
Best. She is, just everything she does on Twitter, it's gold. Yeah. And I love how these actors, these kids, formed like this family-like bond with her.
And that's because they had they worked with her for so many years. I mean,
yeah.
If they'd just done like one or two, if the Harry Potter movies hadn't taken off and they'd only done one or two.
Golden Compass.
Golden Compass.
Oh, man, Golden Compass. That's a great book series.
These actors wouldn't be, I don't think they would be as well adjusted as they are today. Because,
probably not.
I mean, they grew up with it. They were child actors, but by the end of the series, they were adult actors. I mean, they grew up with it. They were able to kind of roll with it, you know?
Yeah.
I think when you run into the problems are the ones that were child actors. They worked for a couple of years and then stopped. And either, you know, between money mismanagement or not being able to, like...
Find work,
you know, once they lost that child cuteness or whatever. I think that's where the problem really rolls in, you know?
Danny Bonaducci?
Dustin Diamond.
What a scumbag.
What a train wreck that dude is.
Arrested on Christmas Eve at a bar in Minnesota for stabbing a guy.
With his
professional party clown girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like my favorite Christmas.
Didn't he do one of those, like, stupid reality, like, celebrity shows where he...
The Celebrity Fit Club or whatever.
Yeah, he, like, threatened to fight somebody by trial by combat or something.
The trainer.
He boxed the guy, didn't he?
I don't remember.
He was one of those celebrity boxing. He boxed Horshack from Welcome Back, Kotter and beat him to a pulp. I remember that.
I don't want to go negative there.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, young Anakin, still doing that pod racing in the real world.
Yep. And I think we have time for just one real quick one. This is actually a good one. You know, ended on a high note. Lego has announced that they are going to start creating more green products by limiting the amount of plastics in their...
Yeah,
in
they
their
are... I mean, they... Last year, they produced, like... It was, like, some crazy amount. Like, 32 billion bricks or something like that in the last year.
Yeah.
I assume that even though this is going to be more environmentally friendly plastic, it's still going to hurt like crap when I step on them.
Yeah.
My kids don't pick up their Legos, ever.
I actually read this article yesterday about how much force it takes to actually destroy a Lego brick.
Oh, those things are dense.
Oh, yeah. Like, they took, like, the little, the 2x2, you know, the square little one, and it took, like, 650 pounds to actually crush it. And it wasn't so much that it broke that it almost melted.
Huh.
It was a plastic failure.
Yeah.
It wasn't failure in the design of the brick, but in the material itself.
Yeah, those things are hardy.
A tower to break that would have had to been like god awful tall, like something like 32 miles tall.
That's crazy.
Which is impossible to build.
Yeah.
Because it would fall apart. Right. But anyway. I love the fact that they're investing in ways to make a plastic or a plastic-like material that has a better environmental footprint.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see that some companies aren't all like faceless evil corporations. Like some of them are actually trying.
Yeah. Well,
it's just a good feeling.
I mean,
they
cut ties with Shell Oil.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it also helps the fact that they are not an American company.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Which sometimes I forget that they're not.
Right.
I mean, they're one of the biggest corporations on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been around forever, building one of the biggest brands in toys ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that documentary. They had like a mini documentary.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it.
It was pretty good. Apparently, they're investing $150 million on this attempt to develop a sustainable non-plastic material for the bricks.
Hey, you know what? That's great.
I mean, that's like 3 Lego sets.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right. I think that's actually a good place to end it. you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in this week.
You can check us out at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
And each and every day over at nerdoverload.com, we have news, reviews, and all sorts of stuff. And remember, San Diego Comic-Con is coming up in a couple weeks, and we hit that scene hard every year. So be sure to tune in for that. This is usually the part where Cody tells you that we're on Twitter at @nerd_overload.
Or when Samantha tells you that you can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
That's right. Josh, buddy, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Yep. We'll definitely have to get you back on sometime soon.
And the next time someone's sick or on vacation, you give me a call.
All right. Sounds good. And we'll talk to you next week.
Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
This show was sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and Creative Foundations.